Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today we meditate on the first reading that we heard, our Old Testament reading from Joshua 3, under the theme of the Promised Land. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit that you sent down on Indiana this morning as she was baptized into your name. We pray that you would send us that same Spirit to strengthen us, encourage us, convict and comfort us by the power of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today on All Saints Sunday, we remember and thank God for those who have died in the faith, particularly over the past 12 months. We acknowledge the many ways that God blessed them and the many ways that God blessed us through them, their special contribution to our lives and to the lives of many others. We don't find death an easy subject, which I think is understandable and probably why we come up with all sorts of indirect ways of talking about it. We say that somebody shuffled off this mortal coil or kicked the bucket or gave up the ghost or most commonly passed away. I had a dear Christian woman tell me once that when she died, she wanted me to tell people she died and nothing else. Her point was that the more directly we're able to speak about death, the more ready we are to appreciate the promise of eternal life. And generally, I agree with her. I have to. She hasn't passed anywhere just yet. Now, that being said, today I'd like to pick up this metaphor of passing on or passing away because it has the sense of a passageway that leads from one place to another, one land to another, as was the case for Israel, or one world to another, as is the case with those who die. So our main points for today are to do with passing on the leadership, passing with the ark, passing through the water, and passing into the land, the promised land. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of Israel, so they may know that I am with you as I was with Moses." Today in this reading, what we're witnessing is the passing on, or the handing over, of the leadership of the nation of Israel. And we learn that just as God called and led and reassured and strengthened and worked in and worked through Moses, so he intends to do the same thing now with Joshua, their new leader. Joshua, in turn, was going to be one who served God, one who was strong and courageous before God, one for whom the words of God never departed from his lips, it says, and one who would remind people of God's presence and God's promises and lead them not just towards the promised land, like Moses did, but actually into the promised land. When someone dies, particularly an older person, one of the big questions we often ask is, who will carry on that legacy? Who will carry on their work or their memory? How will what was important to them remain important to us even without them present? It's a big question. It's a big question for Christian families, especially these days, who are finding more and more that it's the older generations who have been the real stalwarts of the Christian faith. And once they die, it's not so clear anymore who's going to keep these Christian stories and rituals and prayers and beliefs central for the family. Now, every human life is unique and every human life is unrepeatable, and yet every human life also produces fruit worth savoring. It's often not until someone does pass away or die that we realize just how unique and special that life was. How much there is to be grateful for about that person, and how important it is to carry on what they have taught us into the future. God's first words to Joshua today do not intend to burden him with the weight of responsibility of following in Moses' footsteps. You can imagine they would have been pretty big shoes to fill. But his words to Joshua intend to encourage him that as he picks up this baton for Israel, God is going to be with him too. That's the simple encouragement he gives Joshua as he steps into this important role of leadership. Now, Joshua says to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God's among you and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites and all these other nations. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you." Now, the significance of the Ark, if you remember the Ark, is that it held the stone tablets on which the Ten Commandments were inscribed. So, just as quickly as God tells Israel, Joshua is your new leader, Joshua is in charge, so he tells both Israel and Joshua who's really in charge. And by the way, never forget, the Ark of the Covenant is going on ahead of you. In other words, God, his word, his command is leading you, is in charge, and you're to follow along behind it. Come and listen. Come and listen to what, does Joshua say? Come and listen to my great ideas. Come and listen to my new strategic plan for the nation of Israel. No. Come and listen to the words of the Lord your God. It's the same invitation they heard at Sinai. It's the same invitation they heard every Sabbath day. It's the same invitation we hear every Sunday in the church. Come and listen to the words of the Lord your God. Let that lead your way. That is how we know and experience and are reminded of the presence of God. When we leave our homes, when we leave our workplaces, when we leave our lives, the Word of God goes on ahead of us and calls us to follow after it. It goes into the uncharted waters and it gives us courage to do the same. Heaven and earth may pass away, Jesus says, but my words will never pass away. So with a new leader in place, with God's word in their mind, with the Ark of the Covenant out in front, Israel is ready to step foot into the Jordan. Now this is a real moment of truth for the people of Israel. It's the last hurdle for them before they can enter that promised land. This is what we read. We read, "Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing and piled up in a heap a great distance away." Now, they say that when the Jordan was flooding, it could be up to 3 or 4 meters tall, meters high, and could run very quickly, very swiftly. Actually, in 1 Chronicles, there's this depiction of the great and mighty warriors and experienced soldiers of Israel trying to cross the Jordan at harvest time, at flood time. And here, we get this account of, by God's grace, the men and the women and the children and the livestock and all the possessions of Israel, the whole nation, being able to go across on dry land. Just as God had separated the Red Sea to allow them into the wilderness, so now he separates the Jordan to allow them into the promised land. This morning we've been blessed to witness the baptism of Indiana. And God has given Indiana, if you think about it, many Joshuas in her life, many fine Christian leaders and examples. And she has Aaron and Tori and her godparents, and she also has Murray and Tracy and Gail and Trevor and Oscar, and I don't know the rest of you guys that well, but I'm sure you're great Christian examples for her too. These generations of Christian influence and example that she's called on to take up the baton and run with as well, to follow along behind and to be encouraged by the people God has given her to help her do so. This morning, God called Indiana into these waters and through these waters and promised to walk with her from these waters en route to her own promised land. And she's telling us all about it at the moment. So finally, passing into the land. We've passed on the leadership. We've passed along with the ark. We've passed through the water. And now we're ready, Israel's ready, to pass into this promised land. 40 long years. Remember, 40 long years Israel has been walking through the wilderness. 40 long years they've been questioning whether God was really with them. 40 long years they've been hungry and thirsty and arguing among themselves, and they've experienced conflict and they've experienced adversity. 40 long years. And now they stand on the edge of this bank, the edge of the Jordan, and the edge of their promised land. When we are faithless, God remains faithful. You know, Israel's faith wavered a huge amount throughout those 40 years. Israel's obedience to God's commands was lackluster, to say the best of it. And yet, God is faithful to his promises. And God promised to lead these people into this land, and that is what we see him doing today. Our Christian hope, just like the hope of those who have gone before us, is that not by our great example, and not by our great works, and not even by our fidelity in passing on the Christian faith, do we somehow win a spot in heaven, but that by the grace of God and his faithfulness, Jesus Christ has passed over from death to life for us, entered the Jordan, endured the cross, and like his little children, scooped us up in his arms and carried us into the promised land we call heaven. We can't see it yet. We can barely even imagine it. I know I struggle to. But the promise of God is that we will one day inherit it. That it will be ours, that through death we will enter life because of the one who passed on ahead of us and remains faithful to us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Israel entered the Jordan, the uncharted waters, and that through them were able to receive your gift of the promised land. We thank you that Indiana has entered the waters of baptism this morning and through it has your promise of life eternal. Lord, strengthen us all to hold on to that promise when our faith wavers, when we are met with challenges, to be assured by your word that you love us and are still with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.